Today, we discuss Miro. Listen, when it comes to running client workshops, the dream, of course, is to get those creative juices flowing, right? But typically what ends up happening is thousands of hours get wasted because of poorly facilitated meetings. So I have Maya with me today. She's a consultant who runs Fortune 100 workshops from leadership training to team building, and she has the insider tip on what makes things work. Maya?
Thank you, Jason. I've been doing this a long time. My number one tip is to bring everyone into that visual collaboration platform. So personally, I use Miro, and it's completely changed how I interact with the room. You have to give people a way to feel like they're in the room even when they're not. That's something you can do easily in Miro. Otherwise, they've seen the same slides and format 1,000 times.
Falling asleep, eyes glazing over, yawns, all that.
Exactly. When people follow me on the Miro board, everyone is literally going on a journey with me. We're adding thoughts, we're reacting, and we're voting for the best ideas. It's great.
Connective magic. I like it. That's Miro.com.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
I'm here.
Live from The Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
There's a flag down at the line of scrimmage as the pass is to an open Travis Kelce, who flings it back over to Tony. My goodness!
And I think it's coming back.
Number 19, offense.
The Rich Eisen Show.
To take away greatness like that, I mean, let us play the game.
Earlier on the show, two-time Super Bowl champion and Greenlight podcast host, Chris Long. Coming up, your phone calls, latest news, and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Man, we had two games yesterday that filled up all of hour number one. The Sunday night game in Dallas and then the game on CBS in Kansas City that led to it. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. We didn't even touch on Ohtani making $700 million contract out of the Dodgers. We have 2 hours left in which to do exactly that. Chris Long of Greenlight Pod will be joining us shortly on the Rich Eisen Show to discuss everything that we discussed in hour number one and whether or not what we're about to hit right here before taking your phone calls is in fact the case. I still believe, despite seeing Dallas play the way that it is playing, and as I came on the show, Dak's playing his best football. McCarthy's coaching his best football, you could say, since his championship season with Rodgers, where they won inside the Jones Mahal, where Dallas, is behind McCarthy's, now won 15 straight football games. 15 in a row.
Crazy.
And despite the way the defense is balling out, and Stephon Gilmore is now playing defensive player of the year type stuff, I mean, a lot of those buttons that the Jones family and that staff pushed in the non-playing season to get some players in, despite losing out on Shaq Leonard to Philadelphia, it's all working right now. It's all working right now. Despite all that, the San Francisco 49ers are still the best team in the NFL. I believe it to my core. I believe it because I'm seeing it. And I'm sensing it. I think we all do, too. You know what? It's kind of wild that this team lost 3 in a row.
Yeah.
Okay. This team lost 3 in a row, and how the hell did that happen? They lost to P.J. Walker in Cleveland. I guess these things happen. Mistakes are made.
Yeah, weird games, weird losses happen kind of for everybody.
And Purdy actually led the team into winning position, and their rookie kicker missed a field goal.
Yep.
Which, you know, as you know, Jake Moody had not yet missed in Ohio. Whew, that feels good to do when no one's expecting it.
I guess we should always expect
it. And so this team has righted the ship. They came out of their bye week. They went into their bye week sitting on a 3-game losing streak. That ought to be a very long-ass week. And they've won 5 in a row. They boat raced Jacksonville in Jacksonville. They took care of business against Tampa at home. They boat raced Seattle in Seattle on Thanksgiving night. I mean, they smoked Philadelphia in the game that they've been circling for damn near a calendar year. And then they had Seattle in their house yesterday and with Drew Locke in the house and a division opponent that is in desperate need of a win on a losing streak of their own in Seattle coming in. They gave the 49ers a good shot. And the 49ers took the shot, absorbed the shot, and then just hit back just as hard. And this is after McCaffrey ran one on the first play from scrimmage for 72 yards when you think the good times are flowing. And they pick off Purdy. I mean, those are the things that you need to have. But then Purdy still throws for a career high 368 with 2 scores. And This is what would scare me more than anything else, is that you had your shot to beat the Niners, and they lost three times in a row. You had your shot at the Niners earlier on this season. You're Dallas. And the Deebo Samuel that we're seeing right now isn't even there. This Deebo Samuel that has finally arrived over the last 5 weeks is exactly the Deebo Samuel that took over games and stole your soul with the most breathtaking yards after catch. I mean, this guy gets ahead of steam, he gone. He gets a crease, it's over, and he's running it in now, and he's throwing it. That's the guy who the Niners thought they were going to lose because he didn't want to ever come back to him again for whatever was going on. Remember that time where it was just like, yeah, I don't want to be a running back?
Yeah.
I'm not that guy. I want my career to last, so I'm not going to be your running back anymore. You know how you fix that? You get Christian McCaffrey. Poof. We're not asking Deebo to run the ball as much anymore, are we?
Surprise.
Are we? You get yourself the best in the game who can catch it and run it too. They got two of those guys, Deebo and Christian McCaffrey. Oh, and Ayuk. Remember when he was in the doghouse?
Yeah.
Remember that?
What happened
and
to him?
And Kyle Shanahan didn't know what he's doing by putting Ayuk in the doghouse? You know who's now barking?
Ayuk.
That guy. Mm. And you know who? We're not even talking about Kittle. And the quarterback who can now dial it up for Kyle Shanahan. Waiting all this time. Like, forget. You don't hear talk about Kirk Cousins anymore.
Kirk.
Going over there. They got that done. Trent Williams. How good is he? Every single time they run to the left with McCaffrey on either just a straight handoff or a toss. Juszczyk coming through. Kittle maybe coming through. And Trent Williams coming through. You know what's coming through? McCaffrey for at least 20.
Feels like it.
Right? And then defensively, Fred Warner, you know, getting in people's faces too now. I mean, they did that without Armstead. They're Walter Payton Man of the Year nominee. The video of the way that the guys talked about him, I'm getting goosebumps. That was viral. It's a video that went viral. Their teammates talking about Arik Armstead. And they got Chase Young now with Bosa, who was lining up over the center. Get out of here. Can they lose? Of course. But now they are set up. They're set up. This team that had lost three in a row is entering the final month of the regular season, 4 weeks, set up. Because if you look at the standings right now, the two teams that are close to them, right in there with them, right in the same record as they have, in the NFC, in the race for the one seed, they have beaten. They have the tiebreak over the Cowboys. They have the tiebreak over the Eagles. And any thought and notion that the Lions would keep up pace, I think we are seeing, is not going to happen. The Lions can make the playoffs, make some hay. Absolutely. You don't want to mess with them. But right now, you can mess with them. And that's the problem, is that they are losing track of, forget the one seed, maybe the two. And the Niners are seeing that, and it's just like, great. And you look at their schedule the rest of the way, as we had just shown, man, they've got coming into their house is Baltimore on Christmas night. Circle that one. Because if you had to choose an AFC team that played as close to the brand of football that the Niners play, it's them. And visits to Arizona and Washington before the Rams visit their house. That could be a monster Week 18 game where the 49ers have an opportunity to stay sharp because they've already earned a bye and spit their last regular season breath at Sean McVay to keep him out of the tournament. I really love the way they're set up. They're the best team in football. And right now, Dallas has got to go there. The Field of Genes, that's the way you want it. Well done.
Let's go.
Derek in Missouri, you're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Derek?
Hey, Rich. Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well. What's on your mind?
Well, first of all, I just want to say, hello, Chris. What's happening? How are you this morning? Are you doing okay after last week?
He's doing fine.
Great. So we're still the second slot in the draft, so I'm good.
He's good.
I'm good.
Not bad.
Enough.
I'm good.
What's on your mind, Derek?
No. Well, I want to get into, of course, what happened yesterday in Kansas City.
Okay.
I mean, first of all, I mean, it's pretty obvious what we saw. Kadarius Toney was clearly lined up offside. And there is one thing that is ruining this team right now. And if there's one thing to define Kadarius Toney is liability, because he is costing this team so much right now that you see what is happening. And right now he is just making mistakes falling off the field.
And the issue is, Derek, and thanks for the call. The issue is you take him out, they can't afford to take him out. They can't afford it.
He's cost them two wins. You can take him out.
You have to have somebody take his place. It's not like it's the deepest room where everybody's going to just turn into a Chiefs-type wide receiver. If they had somebody, they'd have already put him in.
What are the positives that he's bringing to the table right now?
Well, first of all, he's really... I mean, you see him, they ran the ball with him a couple times. He's versatile. He's fast. He is so good at avoiding tackles, too. Like, he can really move. He's got like that.
And him doing something like, boneheaded, is that worth the risk?
That's the issue. He's got like video game type ability, like you operated by a joystick. You remember when he was on the Giants and everyone thought like, here comes Odell 2.0.
I guess. He's just not trustworthy.
And then the Giants are like, yeah, we just can't have him around.
Yeah.
And Andy Reid's like, I'll fix him. And so far, he has not been able to get his game clean enough where it hasn't roosted at the worst possible moment, as it did yesterday. And again, I totally understand Chiefs fans are like, well, he asked for advice. Am I on sides? And, you know, and then they flag him for it. Or, you know, how many times are we going to see that? And here's just one last thing, and then we'll throw to Chris Long. We have seen 11 times this year. You heard that from Terry McAuley on NBC last night, because NBC had their chief rules analyst on to have this conversation.
He was on it, yeah.
That there have been 11 instances this year of offensive offsides. And it is a rare penalty prior to this year. It has been an added influence or an added form of focus this year. And the reason why the league is giving it that emphasis, as they use that term, added emphasis, going into this year is because of, wait for it, the brotherly shove play. That if we're going to allow this play, they're going to be real sticklers about whether a team on offense is on sides. Because if these refs are now going to be looking at this rugby scrum, they're going to call offensive offsides as well. And guess who got called for it last night on that play? The Eagles. That's why it's now being called. And it's amazing that the team that the Chiefs beat in the Super Bowl last year and then lost to a couple weeks ago, that play added an emphasis on this type of call that came home to roost at the worst possible time. And I know Mahomes is like, let them play. Do you think when the official threw the flag, he knew Kelce would be wide open and then make one of the most heads-up spiral laterals in the history? I mean, that looked like the Jeter flip play.
It was great. Jimmy was safe, but that was awesome.
And Toney was offsides. You know, and
yeah, he's not throwing the flag after the fact, like, oh man, that was a cool play, let me ruin it.
I mean, it could have just been like, incomplete pass, you know, and mean? Now it's but it was the end result that got wiped out, and it's not like they're not letting the guys play. It could have been, with all due respect, another drop pass.
Yeah.
And absolutely. That's why I think, again, Mahomes is upset, because he's not going to air out his receivers in that moment. He's going to air out the official. And I think it broke him for the moment. Don't count him out, obviously, from here on out.
I hope Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid kind of walk back their post-game comments. I know it was heat of the moment, and something like that happens immediately after a game. You're very fired up and you're emotional, but it was obviously the right call, so I hope they kind of walk some of that back this week.
It was the right call, but again, how often is it called? More often than before. Can you have let it go? Sure. My point is, again, they won a Super Bowl last year, not because of that flag on James Bradbury, on Juju Smith-Schuster. They were allowed to run out the clock with the lead in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Get the lead and then run out the clock enough where the Eagles couldn't retort because of a flag that was a penalty, could have kept it in your pocket, in the same way as this moment for Tony. And I understand Mahomes is like, let us play, because the best part for the NFL is to let that play stand. We're all talking about it, and let's see what Josh Allen could do. Last year, we never saw what Jalen Hurts could do, could we? What does Chris Long think about it? That's next. This is the Rich Eisen Show on a very busy Monday. Let's talk Audible, people. Audible lets you enjoy all of your audio entertainment all in one app. Titles in every kind, in all categories. Wellness, bestsellers, and new releases, as well as podcasts and originals. And Audible members can keep one title a month from the entire catalog. You keep it. You'll always find the best of what you love or something new to discover. You know, I travel a lot, especially during football season. And right now, listening to player memoirs from Audible really helps me relax and pass the time on long flights. With the app, you can listen anywhere as it's all in one spot. Whether I'm on a transatlantic flight or on a long car ride with my family, I just put on an audiobook from Audible and boom. It's so easy to just listen. New members can try Audible now free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/Eisen or text Eisen to 500-500. That's audible.com/EISEN or text EISEN to 500-500 to try Audible free for 30 days.
With Sotyktu for moderate to severe plaque psoriasis, you could show off your skin again. And you know what that means?
Beach day.
As a TYK2 inhibitor, Sotyktu is the only once-daily pill of its kind for adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. Ask your dermatologist about Sotyktu today and learn more at SoClearlyYou.com. That's SoClearlyYou.com. Sotyktu, deucravacitinib, is a prescription treatment for adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis who may benefit from systemic therapy or phototherapy. Don't take if you're allergic to Sotyktu. Serious reactions can occur. Before treatment, get checked for infections, including tuberculosis. Sotyktu can lower your ability to fight infections. Don't start if you have one. Serious infections, cancers including lymphoma, muscle problems, and changes in certain labs have occurred. Tell your doctor if you have a history of these events, or if you have an infection or symptoms like fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you have history of hepatitis B or C, liver or kidney problems, high triglycerides, or had a vaccine or plan to. Sotyktu inhibits TYK2, which is part of the JAK family. People 50 and older with heart disease risk factors who use a JAK inhibitor are at increased risk for certain side effects, sometimes fatal. It's unknown if Sotyktu has the same risks as JAK inhibitors. Call 1-888-SOTYKTU to learn more.
Hi, I'm Kelsey Grammer. Wounded Warrior Project supports injured veterans by connecting them with fellow warriors, by serving them through mental health and wellness programs, and by empowering them to live on their own terms. No one should face a battle alone. Join us at WoundedWarriorProject.org.
And how about Romo calling Taylor Swift Kelsey's wife? I don't know where that one was from.
To quote Steve Mariucci, not yet.
I think that's what Nance said, right? You know?
I mean, hey, look, those kids want to chase love in that direction, just like, do it.
I've been in that before where you start a sentence and you're kind of cornered yourself.
Yeah, you're just kind of like,
I don't know. Did Romo just forget the word girlfriend? Or
I guess.
Wait a minute.
Didn't want to.
Maybe Tony knows something we don't.
That's what Nance said. Nance said.
Taylor said, like, what do you think? What you said, Chris, we hard launched our relationship at the game. So they've been dating.
Yeah, that's right. They were dating over the summer.
I know.
Maybe.
But I mean, Nance is just like wants to get back to the play-by-play. And Rich, he had to basically, you know something we don't?
You got to understand, Tony knows what it's like to date a pop princess. He's been down that path.
True. Don't go to Jessica Cabo Simpson in the bye week.
So I remember all that.
He knows what Travis is going through.
I remember this. I remember the Pro Bowl too. Like that's fun. Like that's true. He knows.
Yeah, he's been there.
Yeah, he brought Jessica Simpson to the Pro Bowl. I remember that.
Amazing.
And that was when Sean Payton gave out Romo's room number in Breaking the Huddle.
That was dirty.
Well,
that is dirty. You can't do somebody like that.
Well, that is what you do when you, because it was Romo, I believe it was his first Pro Bowl, and they're both Eastern Illinois guys. So he hazed him by giving out, like, on three, everybody on three, one, two, three, and then
that's kind of funny.
Gave out his room number. which is
what a call, Romo Stradamos.
When you do that, that means all the veterans in the Pro Bowl put their stuff on your room bill,
and put this on the Underhills bill.
He had to like change rooms or something. If we ever have Romo on, I got to ask him how bad was the bill on that one.
Tony, your room service bill is $30,000.
By the way, five figures.
Don't joke.
For sure.
I try to keep my room number. That's what Rod Woodson told me when going to my first Pro Bowl. He goes, make sure you never say your room number out loud.
It's true.
Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by as our friend. And his usual Monday spot is right here now from the Green Light Pod. Our friend Chris Long back on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you doing, Chris?
I'm good, Rich. How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm just wondering about the level of concern about the Philadelphia Eagles. What do you think right now? What do you got?
Medium. Not higher than my level of concern for Michigan, who hosts Bama. And I think that's why we got that question last week. Because you're just but the Eagles, I'm concerned about them, dude. I am. Like, it's medium concern. It's like they're a good football team, but if that's your best over the last 2 weeks, it's going to be hard to get out of the NFC. I don't think there's anybody in the AFC that they can't beat, but you're kind of approaching a situation where, you know, San Francisco looks to be a better team, and the Cowboys look to be the type of team that you have to play a lot better than that to beat. I mean, when your best players are putting the ball on the ground in plus territory all night, what do you want to do? I mean, you're not going to beat that team. And then you've got probably, if not the worst, one of the worst third down defenses in the league. And you're going against one of the best in the league. And I mean, nothing sums it up more than getting two penalties on the same play, both of them enforced. You know, like, how many times do you see that in the NFL? It happened to the Eagles on a third down, I think at the end of the first half, and they just couldn't get off the field and they couldn't stop the run. Like, I don't know, where could we start with that defense right now? It's like, that's not going to get it done.
Well, how do you tighten the bolts on that in the final four games of the season? Obviously, the Eagles are a playoff team. We can at least, for sure. And it's kind of crazy that we have to stipulate that to continue our conversation. But how do you go ahead in the final 4 weeks of a season and fix? Are they fixable problems, what you're seeing, Chris?
What do you think, Rich? I mean, like, you're looking at the defensive pieces. Some of those pieces are, the fix is the offense scoring 35 points. Mm. So, you know, like, it kind of is what it is. Like, and Howie, who I think is brilliant, has left this door open with some of the personnel resource allocation. Now, I know Dean's hurt and that sort of thing, and they've had injuries at linebacker with Cunningham and all these guys, and it's been like a revolving door outside since Maddox went down early in the season. But I don't know, man. I worry about the scheme on both sides of the ball, if I'm being dead honest, relative to last year. And I worry about the personnel on defense, and it puts the offense in a position where they have to be great. Now, last night they were terrible putting the ball on the ground and that sort of thing, dropping footballs. Those guys will tell you that. They're probably pretty hard on themselves, but that's how they have to play if they're going to go on the road and beat Dallas in the playoffs. If they're going to have to beat San Francisco, they're going to have to score 35 points. Now, unless there's something I haven't seen yet from the defense, and it could be, and they will be in the playoffs, and they're going to have another chance to beat one of these two teams, I believe that. But, you know, some of the personnel issues are pretty concerning.
Well, I mean, let's just put it this way. We're seeing Green Bay tonight. And I think Green Bay could really give Philadelphia a game, to be straight up with you, if they wind up being the 2 seed, a 3 seed. I know the Lions have definitely slipped. You know, that's how far this level of play for Philadelphia has slipped. As I mentioned, you know, earlier in the program, Chris, that the narrative from the Eagles went from a plucky team, if you can call that an NFC champion that's defending its crown plucky, but went from a plucky team to being a lucky team, that the issues that they were overcoming in the losses and the wins over the Chiefs and the Bills now might have just been masking the luck that they needed to win those games, including Dak stepping out of bounds in their first meeting with Dallas. Like, that's now the narrative for Philadelphia.
You could say the same thing about any team in the NFC other than the Niners. I don't think that, I mean, like, the Cowboys, They just started beating good teams. So, I mean, like, I want to give them a lot of credit. I would put Dak in the MVP race. I think they're a really good football team. But I do think the Eagles are kind of getting that 10-1 start held against them, you know, coming off a Super Bowl, which is really rare. You know, I would have told you a month, two ago, they're not the same team as last year. I mean, they're having to win a lot of games close, and the offense doesn't look the same. I think Jalen looks a little uncomfortable at times, but I don't want to put it all on him. Guys got to catch the ball. Guys got to hold on to the ball, and they have to be able to run the ball. That game script sucks for them. You know, you can't go down there. They ran the ball well, but they had to get away from it. So I guess if you're trying to make them the Vikings from last year, which I've heard that's been like a trendy hot take over the last 2 weeks, you're wrong. The Vikings lost to a team in the Giants who are like basement dwellers this year and, you know, won a million games with their luck index through the roof and that sort of thing. Like the Eagles are a good football team. There just happen to be two that you could argue are better in the NFC right now.
Chris Long, Greenlight podcast host here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's talk about Dallas. As I said earlier in the program, this just feels different now. It really does. It feels different that this team truly can win it all. And that the issues that always seems to crop up with them, trouble punching down on opponents in the regular season, and then they get punched out in the postseason because they make mistakes. This team doesn't seem like that team to me. And I wonder what you're seeing right now.
Well, I mean, we've been here a lot with them where we say, I mean, not maybe to this degree, because I think Dak's playing the best football of his career and he should be celebrated as doing such, because, like, you know, I'm an Eagles fan and all that stuff. If I had one team I'm a fan of and that sort of thing, but I try to keep it pretty unbiased. The guy's playing really good football. He's playing better football than anybody in the division right now. I mean, like, you know, and that's kind of like down the stretch, that's what matters. And for Dak, and this offense, without the run game being the feature, right? Like in the past, it was always, hey, Dak, he's got this huge offensive line. The run game is rolling Zeke and then Tony and that whole group, Alfred Morris, while I was there, like they had a bunch of guys, and it's not really how they're getting it done right now. It's the run game's a thing, but they're lethal in these conversion situations. Adding Brandon Cooks is huge. And then having a tight end that just feels like he dropped out of nowhere for me, like not as a Cowboys fan. And CeeDee Lamb has heard people talk about, like, yeah, he's borderline a number one. No, he's a number one. And you can't help but be, I'm not a Cowboys fan, but I'm happy for some of the guys there, because you know, Dak's a good dude. He takes a lot of you know what, and I think Tyron Smith has been quietly as good as anybody in the league. Like, Tyron Smith was hurt for a while. Now he looks like prime Tyron Smith. That's a real thing. And the defense is really good, but they can get gashed. I mean, that's going to be the problem for them. You know, if they got to win 3-4 shootouts to get to win the whole thing, I don't feel good about that. And Dak, you know, he missed high a little bit last night, if I'm nitpicky. Better defenses might turn those things into turnovers. And I think that's the thing you worry about with Dallas, is an untimely turnover down the stretch and the defense making Dak score 40 points like they did against the Seahawks to win. That's my concern with Dallas, if I have any. So San Francisco is in another class.
That's what I was going to ask you, is that, do you think the one seed is the ultimate decider in the NFC, or do you think that the Niners are just as good as ever and they can win wherever? Or do you think Dallas needs it? Philadelphia needs it? What's your opinion on that subject matter,
Chris? Can the Eagles beat the Niners? I mean, they'll tell you they played the worst game of their season against the Niners, but some of it had to do with who they were playing against. And, you know, will they get guys back at backer? Yeah. Could they turn those two field goals in the first quarter into touchdowns? That game plays out different. Could you have Dallas Goedert back? Sure. You talk about the gauntlet, but that team's better right now. And so I think the big thing is to do everything you can to beat a team that's better than you. You need home field advantage. So these guys want San Francisco coming into their house. But I do think San Francisco is the best team in the NFC. If you're asking me, can they lose? Yeah, absolutely. But look at Kyle Shanahan and everything that he's done. And, you know, Andy Reid's having trouble right now. You're talking about Bill going through what he's going through in New England. We should talk more about Shanahan. We were talking about it, me and the guys here, like, as this generation's greatest young coach. I mean, like, I know if it's not for him, I don't have a ring where he threw the ball late in that game. But
good one, Chris.
But it's not a dig, because I got respect for the guy. Sure. I mean, like, the guy the guy has done this with the quarterbacks that he's done this with, and now you could say he has a real guy. And so, like, are they better than they've ever been? Possibly. And that's scary because they've been in the bowl before. They've been in the NFC Championship with consistency, and they've been throws away. They've been plays away. This is the best they've been. So take from that what you will.
Chris Long here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's jump into the Chiefs and the Bills, sir.
Yeah.
And starting instead of what we have learned about the Bills and how in trouble are the Chiefs, we'll get to that in a second. Clearly, the topic du jour is the offensive offsides called on Kadarius Toney, wiping out what was a game of the century type finish, right? And also a game leading remarkable lateral from Kelsey to Toney for an offensive, again, offsides call. And then the Chiefs' reaction to it. What's your opinion on all of that, Chris?
Well, you know, I feel bad for Patrick Mahomes because yeah, I know his wide receivers don't hate him, but it sure looks that way sometimes. Because you're just like, dude, you listen, you go out at the trade deadline, you don't really make a big splash. You don't litter that room with talent over the last couple of years. This kind of falls on Brett Veach, man, and Andy, if he has a say in this thing, because you're wasting a year of prime Mahomes. Now, do I think they can figure it out? Yeah. My legs are tired from standing on the table on the Chiefs. Like, I just have to believe that they can figure these things out. And part of it has to do with getting the people off the field that are making mistakes. You're telling me, you know, I don't know, pick some other guy from that room. Richie James couldn't catch that throwback and run it into the end zone. He'd line up on sides. You know, Kadarius Toney's cost him two games this year now. Detroit, this one. That's the difference between Patrick Mahomes playing at home, which is what he's done customarily his whole career in the playoffs, and going on the road. And so, you know, like having these players, Sky Moore on the field late. And this isn't personal, man. Like, but this is a production business, and I love Patrick Mahomes. Even though he beat the Eagles last year in the Super Bowl, I know I'm not supposed to say this sort of thing, but I admire Patrick Mahomes and I admire what they built there. And I hate that they're wasting a run at it because of one room. And it's not just one room, because the tackles haven't been as good this year. We worried about them coming in. The defense has had injuries, but, you know, they're holding teams to around 20 points a game. I think they're an elite defense. I think they might be the best one in the league when they're playing an Arrowhead. When you saw them in the second half, you know, Buffalo comes out in 12 personnel because they get both tight ends back a lot in the first half. In the second half, they make those adjustments and they're kicking their butts, man, on defense. And it felt like an Arrowhead playoff, you know, atmosphere, you know what I mean? And then at the end of the game, they just get burnt by that same room in a different form. So like when people ask me, will the drops ever stop? Will the drops be the thing that keeps them out of the Super Bowl? I don't think the drops are going to keep them out of the Super Bowl necessarily, but it's all this stuff that they're doing wrong right now, the detail oriented stuff. And I don't understand if it's an Eric Bieniemy thing. I don't, cause it's not like last year they had the greatest show on turf and they scored 30 plus points in the Super Bowl. You know what I mean? They had to outscore the Eagles with a group of guys out there. They still have those guys, but the guys aren't doing the little things right and it's burning them.
So what did you make of Mahomes and Reed calling out the officiating like that?
Oh, I mean, like, I don't know. I mean, you got to feel that way. I mean, even if you're just frustrated, you got to take it out on somebody. Last week, Patrick was like, hey, I don't mind that they let him play on that horrendous, you know, MVS DPI. Now, of course, I think also he knew that he kind of sold that late hit on the sideline.
Right. Uh-huh.
So I think he's in his head as a competitor. He's like, hey, we got one, they got one. But this week, you know, it feels like they just got jobbed. Now, having said that, I read Carl Cheffer's, you know, press transcript. Now, although it's Carl Cheffer's and he's the guy who did the Chris Jones roughing the passer last year on Monday Night Football, he's the guy that has it out with Travis Kelce. And I think there's something there. Just the magnitude of Cheffers maybe keeping you from getting that one seed, like that really ticked them off. I think if maybe it was somebody else and they made that call, they'd be like, yeah, he's lined up over the football. You know, because on defense, when we were offsides, they'd give us a warning. But as I understand it, these wide receivers customarily will go out and check, right?
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't check as far as I saw. And you do get a warning unless you're like completely over the ball. And now you have a D Ford situation again. just not in the playoffs. I mean, this one's going to be remembered for a long time.
So, I mean, yeah, Cheffer's saying if it was an egregious alignment to where he was over the ball, whether he had warnings or not, it would still be a foul. And so this was viewed as an egregious violation. Totally get that. But he said, you know, that the, I guess they couldn't give him a heads up because he was hiding the football. He was so damn offsides. It's just, but again, it's just, yeah. It's just like, again,
as nobody would have noticed. Nobody would have noticed, Rich.
No, I don't think anybody would have noticed. But as I said at the beginning of the show, just to be straight up, you know, is this a penalty? Absolutely. Could they have gone without calling it? Absolutely. Is that the way that the Chiefs won the Super Bowl last year? Absolutely. Yeah. You know, like it's the same. It's the same construct of a conversation.
This one's a little more egregious than the hold in the Super Bowl last year.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, he's lined up literally over the ball. I mean, this has been called 11 times this year. Defensive holding gets called all the time. There's a chance that that happens when you put yourself in that position. You know, that wasn't like it wasn't a mugging, but, you know, he's using that player's body to catapult himself a little bit. I know some people disagree with me. I'm not going to be the guy that says the Eagles lost the Super Bowl because of that call. If anything, I'd get on the side of the Eagles lost the Super Bowl because that turf sucked, right? And take away your one advantage. But I totally get when you put yourself in that position as Kadarius Toney, and you should be more careful than that with your history. You line up over the ball like that and you can't even see the ball. Like, I feel like he was pretty square about that. Yeah, I'd give him a warning if he wasn't like his full head in the neutral zone. And that's the problem.
Chris Long here on the Rich Eisen Show. Okay, so did the Bill, have the Bills turned it around? I mean,
they needed this one bad. And we were saying this yesterday. During the game, are they the best team in the AFC right now? I like, because I don't see a team in the AFC that, you know, you want to say the Ravens, people are going to laud that, you know, their performance yesterday. I saw a team that's still working through some things offensively. Okay, you're going to say, oh, they scored 30-something points. Yeah, the punt return for a touchdown and two blown coverages. The deep balls are sprayed all over the place. I think they're still working on the Mark Andrews thing. Miami's still got to beat somebody good. You know, I might say Miami's the best team in the AFC if they just start beating good teams.
Right.
And then you look at Kansas City, they're wounded. They're imperfect. Jacksonville, I actually am not going to be that down on them. I actually feel better about the Jags after yesterday, Rich, because that's a tough place to play. How many people are scoring 30 points or close to it on the Browns at home? Mm-hmm. And Lawrence actually didn't look that bad. But I do think the Bills, if they slide in, nobody wants to play that team because the defense is starting to play a little bit better, and they're starting to learn how to play with each other. Whereas a month ago, you know, it was like, oh man, all these new pieces. And I think Dorsey being gone was probably the right decision. Although McDermott tried to lose that game yesterday, the clock management at the end of it was like insane, dude.
Well, that's the whole point with Bills fans. And that was the issue all week long was, you know, the Ty Dunn written deep dive on McDermott and his personality and what's going on behind the scenes for the last several years. And
poor choice there. Poor choice, Sean.
You know, I mean, good Lord. And he apparently apologized for it then, and then he apologized for it again now. And then it's how tight he is at the end of games and how the teams feel it, which is why the Bills lose close ones and things of that nature. But hey, they won it yesterday, which is why the headline of the Buffalo News kind of, you know, hit it directly on the head. The headline was "Shake It Off," which is a nice little nod
towards who, I know that
who was once again in the stands for the boy whose karma on the Chiefs, you know. And so they're kind of, that's the whole thing is just like, who the hell are the Bills? And with you saying that it's a wide
Josh Allen,
and but he's right. He's
as good as Josh Allen plays. Yeah. That's how far as they can go. That play on the sideline.
Right. To Murray.
Some of these QB runs,
yeah.
When he is good, there is nobody better. When he is like, when he is peak Josh Allen, I don't know if there's a guy that I mean, Mahomes, right? But outside of that, like, yeah. I gotta look real hard at peak Josh Allen. Now it's the one pick he did throw one yesterday. It's some of these turnovers, but they've been down since Brady took over, and I'm bullish on them because now they just can't afford to lose more than one game. They still have Dallas and Miami. If they go to Miami with everything on the line, how do you not like them?
I mean, that's week 18, too. And then just it's Chris Long, a couple more minutes left for the Greenlight podcast. So again, just the Dolphins tonight, you say, who have they really beaten, which is their narrative. And McDaniel knows that tonight it's Tennessee. They again, it's another opponent that they should beat. And I got to be honest with you, after calling the Chiefs win over the Dolphins in Germany, I thought to myself, well, you know what? Here come the Chiefs again. And the Dolphins are going to have a tough time getting a better record than the Chiefs because that's a tie break Kansas City has over Miami for the one seed later on. And now going into tonight, they have an opportunity to have a 2-game lead over Kansas City by beating Tennessee. And so that's where I'll kind of finish this conversation is the Chiefs, man. I mean, they still have 15 and 87, right? And that defense, yeah. They still have that defense. But other than that, I mean, what's your level of concern for Kansas City?
As concerned as I am about the Ravens or the Dolphins, or they're in that pack.
Okay.
You know, you got to admit this because we churn this machine, right? You and I were in the media.
Yes, sir.
And we set the narratives in motion. If we didn't know anything about the Chiefs in the past, you'd be like, and you just took this year in a vacuum, you'd be like, this team's frisky. You know, their wide receivers aren't real good, but their quarterback, he can win just about any game. And that's the thing about them is they can beat anybody, but anybody can beat them. And that's the difference. And especially when you go on the road, like, am I concerned about their ability to get to the Super Bowl? Yeah, now like everybody else. Like, they're going to have to go on the road to win. I still would like them in a matchup with Miami. I'd have to look closer at the Baltimore matchup, but I don't think that, like, give me a team in the ACC that you don't think they have a chance against. In the AFC. In the ACC, they beat them all, but in the AFC, give me a team that you think, you know, more than 7 out of 10 times beats the Chiefs.
Yeah, I hear you.
You got, I mean, you're asking the question. You got to answer this one.
Give it to me one more time, Chris, because the guys are too busy laughing in the studio for me to hear you.
is there one team in the AFC that you're like, yeah, that team's better. They're gonna beat the Chiefs most times they play them
in the AFC
neutral site.
In the AFC. I gotta be honest with you. Right now, I take Miami.
Okay,
I take Miami. I really would take Miami.
It's a big leap.
I get it, but Tyreek Hill has it out, and certainly the way that the game went down
in
Germany, where Trent McDuffie, who the Chiefs used one of the draft picks they got from Miami to draft, strips the ball from Hill, and they score what ended up being the game-winning, eventual difference-making touchdown on defense. I bet you that sits really poorly with him.
And I expect a totally different game from him if they see him again.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, 100% I do. And on a neutral site, too, not an Arrowhead. I mean, I saw it in a neutral site.
Miami being at home,
I don't know. I think Miami would win it right now. But you know, you can't count them out. You can't count them out.
I trust the QB. It's a weakness of mine.
But seeing them complain about the officiating is so jarring to me.
Jarring.
It's so un-Chiefs-like. But Chris,
it's
thanks.
Sheffers.
Thanks. I know that's what they do not like him there. My God, do they not like him there? No barbecue for him. Who's on your pod? Right. Who's on your show?
Oh man, I'm so day by day. We pray. You know what I mean.
Survive in advance with Green point. Light, Chris Long, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Thanks again, Chris.
Take it easy.
You got better. I'm sure Mahomes' receivers like him, but sometimes it doesn't look that way. That's a point blank way of putting it. All right, let's take a break. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We have no more guests, folks. So basically,
it's us.
It's about us. And you know what the best thing about us is?
Music going, Rich. I can't.
It's okay. No, it's all right.
You're ready, though.
It's just all I care about. I can just say it. The best thing about us is about us.
The best thing about us, though, is it's about us.
And then we'll be back. I think I'll play that drop coming up.
We'll be back.
I'll be back.
With Sotyktu for moderate to severe plaque psoriasis, you could show off your skin again. And you know what that means?
Beach day.
As a TYK2 inhibitor, Sotyktu is the only once-daily pill of its kind for adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. Ask your dermatologist about Sotyktu today and learn more at SoClearlyYou.com. That's SoClearlyYou.com. Sotyktu, deucravacitinib, is a prescription treatment for adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis who may benefit from systemic therapy or phototherapy. Don't take if you're allergic to Sotyktu. Serious reactions can occur. Before treatment, get checked for infections, including tuberculosis. Sotyktu can lower your ability to fight infections. Don't start if you have one. Serious infections, cancers including lymphoma, muscle problems, and changes in certain labs have occurred. Tell your doctor if you have a history of these events, or if you have an infection or symptoms like fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you have history of hepatitis B or C, liver or kidney problems, high triglycerides, or had a vaccine or plan to. Sotyktu inhibits TYK2, which is part of the JAK family. People 50 and older with heart disease risk factors who use a JAK inhibitor are at increased risk for certain side effects, sometimes fatal. It's unknown if Sotyktu has the same risks as JAK inhibitors. Call 1-888-SOTYKTU to learn more.
I didn't ask to be thrown in the streets, but I did ask for help, and Covenant House was there for me.
For these kids who didn't ask to be put in this unthinkable situation, Covenant House is there. To learn more, go to safeplacetosleep.org today.
Stacking Benjamins with Joe and his good friend OG not only has great financial insight, it's laid back with humor too.
Joe talks with Stacking Deeds co-host Crystal Hammond.
I've always been a fan of nosy neighbors. I want nosy neighbors. They can tell you what's going on 10 times faster than you would know.
Again, what's she talking about, Doug?
Really?
We're repairing neighborhoods, but then we're into nosy neighbors. And yeah, I built a career off of that.
Find out more by searching the Stacking Benjamins podcast, wherever you listen.
So we're still basking in the glow of Arnold Schwarzenegger appearing on this program last week. And we took a photograph that I think requires a breakdown. You know, we frequently break down photographs here. The coaches photograph at the owner's meeting, for instance. It is a staff-wide, if you will, photo with Arnold. And very few people, as you know, get shoulder on me.
I mean, Rich, you got both of them.
And Arnold got shoulder on both of us, but that's understandable. He's Arnold. And the other thing, too, is Adam Chudwin on the left, our call screen.
Yep.
Was he standing on an apple box? I mean, what's up with that? Did he have DeSantis boots on? Like, because he's not that tall, right?
Mike's not tall, though.
I'm not tall, though.
What happened?
He is tall, but I guess next to Mike, he looks really tall.
Mike, you look like one of those,
The shrinking man.
Those shrinking old men.
Yeah.
You know, like, what's up with that?
Like, the other thing, too, is that
he shrunk you. I shrunk the Del Tufo.
Adam has a giant head.
Yeah, he does.
I think
he does.
It really stands out, you know, because he's so much taller than
Mike. Is Adam 6'1"? He's not 6'1".
I think so. I think he's...
What's our call screener's official height? Adam, I know he's listening in the back.
You can type it in.
Here we go. It's typing in the official height of Adam. Because how tall are you?
I've shrunk. No question.
You've shrunk. But how tall are you?
I'm thinking 5'8", 5'9".
You're 5'8"?
I'm thinking I'm 5'8".
Is he 6'1"?
Mike, in that photo,
you're the tallest of them all. Now, you went back row. How did you get back rowed?
Yeah. Well,
where else was I going to go? People were mad that TJ was in the back.
They were mad.
6'1" and shoes. 6'1". Adam's 6'1"?
What are you, Chris?
I went to make sure if you cropped anyone out that I'd still be in the picture.
Oh, get out of here.
Next to Arnold on either side.
That's also filtered back here on the Rich Eisen Show.
I need to be next to Arnold.
Radio joining us. Just looking at a photograph of the crew with Arnold.
All of you out of the photo, so it's just me and Arnold. No offense, when that goes on my Instagram picture, it's just going to be me and him. I'm just saying.
Him telling the story about I'll be back instead of I'll come back or I will be back has been on our TikTok and Instagram feeds viewed over 5 million times.
Jeez, really?
Combined,
Terminator 2 has been on the last few days, too.
Terminator 2 has been on recently, and it is so freaking good.
It is so good.
And so that story, along with the other stories about Andre the Giant and Danny DeVito giving him a pot-laced cigar.
Rich, can we just go ahead and call it a blunt? A gigantic blunt.
Sure, gigantic blunt, whatever. And, you know, that, I think, all pales in comparison to the story we can tell behind the scenes of him coming out and looking at our guest chairs and calling it the baby chair. Refused to sit in the baby chair. And he dragged Brockman's desk chair over.
Yeah, he turned around and was like, I like that chair. And he just walks over.
And took yours.
Just took it and started wheeling it across. I mean, it's a good 20, 25 feet.
Yeah.
And just wheels it all the way over
spectacular.
There.
Spectacular.
I was so
That's the
nervous.
Best story to tell. Amazing.
Somebody's like,
you thought like he was joking. I did too.
My first thing was I looked at you and you went, well, Arnold, what, you're being accommodating. You're like, well, whatever you want. And I'm like, oh, is he mad right now?
He wanted to use one of the
if we could show the shot.
He wanted to use the table.
Yeah, there he is. And you could see, you know, is that RJ moving our guest chair? Well, he was going to use the, I don't know if we'll be able to see it, that stool right there where you rest.
It's a table.
He wanted to sit on that instead. And then once he sat down, he's like, yes, that's good.
Yeah, this is a great chair.
That's the chair. Fantastic.
I'm so glad I pulled my phone out at that moment.
Right. He said that he knows his own energy and that if he sits back where he's too low.
Low or comfortable.
These baby chairs.
Baby chair.
That's a baby chair. Oh, my God. I only wish I would have recorded that part. I was so stunned. I was like, oh, wait a minute. Let me get this.
It was pretty stunning.
Terzo in Iowa. All right. Let's take your phone call. What's up, Terzo? What's going on, brother?
What's up, my dude? So I barely got back in the office last Friday to listen to that Arnold interview, and I'm happy I did. That was so much fun.
It was great.
I'm really jealous of you guys being able to talk to him like that. It's so cool.
You know, he's also jealous of the 14-year-old version of me and TJ, you know?
I believe it. Rich, I do agree with you. One of my favorite movie is also The Running Man with him.
Yeah.
I love that movie.
If I had to choose one, it would be that. And then I might go Total Recall or True Lies after that. You know, that's a coin flip. It's a coin flip. So,
Rich, I got a couple things for you, so just bear with me for a second. Uh-huh. My 93-year-old grandma loves your guys' show.
Oh nice. Loves it. Grandma Terza.
And
Nana Terza.
And Roku does a really good job to allow my grandma, who has muscular degeneration.
So does she talk into her remote? Because that's what
she talks into her. She talks into her remote and pulls it up. She says, "TJ sounds extremely lovely."
Mm-hmm. Oh, and thanks, Grandma.
Terzo always bet against Brockman. She's a very smart woman.
And she's very smart.
I love grandmas. I had Bill's money line yesterday.
Okay. Okay.
And so,
are you clapping back at Terzo's grandmother?
No. She'll still be able to find you, bro. I would not want to put that scorn for Margaret Ann, man. I would leave that alone.
Margaret Ann, I'm giving them a tumbo finger wag at Brockman right now.
Shout out to Miss Margaret.
There's something going on with the app right now to where she can't pull up your previous episodes because I told her about how funny Friday's episode with Arnold was.
Okay, well, we'll figure it out.
Just to give you guys a heads up, TJ, hey man, thanks for you guys pulling off a big victory, man. That was a good win by you guys, securing the number one spot for us right now.
You still got games to play, dog.
I love my team. I'm extremely excited, and these playoffs can't come fast enough because there's so much up in the air. This is going to be one of the, I think, best playoffs that we've probably seen in a long time.
I agree.
I'm with you because, and thanks to the call, Terzo, and say hi to
appreciate you guys.
To Nana Bye-bye, Terzo, everybody. Grandma Terzo.
I sound lovely. I love that.
You do. You do. You knew that already.
Thank you, Grandma.
Honestly, so wide open, right? Niners can win it. Cowboys can win it. Eagles can win it.
Anyone
Ravens can win it. Chiefs can win it. Bills can win it. Miami can win it. Dolphins. Jaguars can win it.
Jets can win it. I don't know about that one, Rich.
Jaguars can win it.
Come on, Rich.
Not what I saw yesterday.
Yeah.
Well, get Christian Kirk back in there. They're not at full strength. We're talking full strength.
Okay. All right.
Let's get glass half full here.
I was just happy that we were right about Trevor Lawrence.
And the Browns, what are the Browns doing? They put Joe Flacco on the... I shouldn't bring it up with only 40 seconds to go here, but we'll talk about it in hour number three. They put him on the practice squad again, which leads me to believe they needed to do that for some sort of rostering. He's not going to go anywhere, but
it's a procedural move that I think is done commonplace with practice.
Well, it's the
players.
Same way that the Patriots were messing around with Zappe and Cunningham, and good thing they got Zappe back.
Is he on a 10-day? Oh, that went my 10-day.
No, 10-day. That's a different league.
NBA. What am I talking about?
So hour number three, more of your phone calls. Other things I want to hit is what's going on with the Browns. Definitely need to talk Ohtani, right?
Yeah.
Zach Wilson being back. We can hit that, right? We can hit that a little bit. I'm going to go deep into the toughest, deepest waters we've been in the last week.
Really?
I'm going to go back in it. I'm going to go cannonballing back into it. And I wouldn't miss it. That's coming up in hour number 3 coming up.
Cannonball.
So what, you think there's a dozen teams that could win the whole thing?
There's not.
Why not? Going on, honestly, at this point...
I actually think there's only one.
Excuse me. At this point in 2007, who was saying the Giants can win it all? Nobody.
True.
That's a good point.
This point in 2011, who was saying the Giants can win it all? Nobody.
But there's really only... It seems like there's only one good team, and then everyone else is like, okay, I don't know who we're getting today.
How could you not call Dallas one of the good teams? Because I'm assuming you're talking to the Niners. Dallas looks terrific, and they are terrific. You need a pass rush. You need a quarterback. You need a passing game. You need a coach dialed in.
You need a kicker.
They're all of them.
Ball
by the way, special teams.
Come on, dog.
Brian Anger, they basically told him, take the month off. He hasn't punted in forever. He thought to himself, I'm going out there, and he turned into Brock Osweiler, thinking he's getting in the game, and the Peyton Manning of kickers. Brandon Aubrey comes out, and he boots one from the middle of the star 60 yards, and he kicked a 59-yarder. So they got the special teams wrapped up, too.
But then Dak had a fumble 6.
Okay. All right. Well, nobody's perfect. Honestly, Brock Purdy got picked off.
You need to be perfect to win the Super Bowl.
Hey,
yep.
That game was 10-7
in the Super Bowl.
San Francisco, and the Seahawks were going, you know, toe for toe, and then all of a sudden, Debo changes it. See ya.
Yeah, see,
the Niners also beat them by 40. Like,
yeah, but last night Seattle was
the Cowboys.
Yeah,
that's a different team now.
Okay,
different team. Result might not be different. The score might be.
You love Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now get to know her on Give Them Lala.
I don't know that I would call it respect that I have for Sandoval, but the world hated him. He still went out, performed shows with his head held high. He showed up to the reunion when we all were going after him. Like, he didn't skip a beat. The way he's handling it, if I were in his position, and I said it straight up to the entire audience, thousands of people, I would tell you all to and the room was dead.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.